Members of the Planning Commission and staff are in separate locations and not at City Hall. Before we start the meeting, I would like to go over some housekeeping items. Tonight's meeting is being recorded. For those tuning in, you will notice that all participants, with the exception of the commission and some city staff members, are muted and the video has been disabled. With that said, we will allow participants an opportunity to speak during public comment periods. If you wish to speak during a public comment, there is a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over it with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open up on your screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of that, you can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitators and you will be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your question or give input. During the time you are unmuted, please make sure you don't have any background noises such as TVs, radios, etc. Even shuffling papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures are being adhered, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in discussion, call 231-582-0336 and an attendant will be able to assist you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work through tonight's meeting agenda. I would like to call this meeting to order and start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, remember, when we do roll call, please state where you're at. You don't need to state an address, just where you're located. Roll call, Pat.
Bauman.
Present at my home in Boyne City.
Present, Madison, Wisconsin.
McNaughton.
Here, my home in Boyne City.
Moblo.
Present here at my home in Boyne City.
Needhammer.
Present at my home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Newton.
Here, Boyne City, Michigan.
Place.
Here at my work in Petoskey, Michigan.
Ross, Jeff.
Here at my work in Petoskey, Michigan.
Monica Ross.
Nope, did we lose Monica?
Muted. She's muted
again.
Monica's here in Boyne City, Michigan.
All right. All right, let's
Mr. start. Chairman?
Yes.
The number that people should call if they're having issues is 582-0337, and that would be Patrick.
Okay.
I was just going to chime in with the same, and if for some reason I can't be reached, try the main office at City Hall, and we can get that coordinated as well.
All right. Thank you for that change. I'll make it change in my file, my script. All right, let's go on to consent agenda. Everyone is here. We'll move on to approval of minutes from February 15th, 2021.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for February 15th, 2021 of our Boyne City Planning Commission.
I'll second the motion.
Oh.
Yep, I got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Newton.
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Jeff Ross?
Aye.
Monica Ross?
Aye.
Bauman?
Aye.
Chu?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Moblo?
Abstain.
Needhammer?
Aye.
All right. Let's move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items.
Mr. Chairman, I received a letter from
Yep.
Paul Geyer. Did anyone else do that received a letter also?
We all received it, but that is an agenda item. So
that okay. Not an agenda item.
Isn't it not?
Nope.
Oh, never mind. Sorry about that.
So thank you for pointing that out. Because we received that letter, it will go into public record as part of the minutes, but it is not part. So Patrick, do we have any citizens?
Yes, we do. It looks like Lynn Ross has a hand raised, and I can go ahead and unmute.
Okay, go right ahead. Hello, Lynn. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Can you state your name and your address, please?
Certainly. Lynn Ross, 215 North Street in Boyne City.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, though, I'm in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. So
okay.
I live on the alley, and Paul Geyer asked me to join this meeting. I understand that you are going to take his letter into consideration, and just we wanted to highlight some of the considerations and concerns that we have with regard to the planned development for 411 Northeast Street,
mm-hmm.
being that we all live on the alley, and for five of the houses, that's the only access to their residence, and we just do not feel that the one lane alley is sufficient to be able to sustain the type of traffic that will be coming forth with the new development on East Street. I'm not going to read everything that Paul has in his letters, because his concerns are echoed by all of us.
Okay.
But I think the other important thing to note is that from an emergency and safety perspective, we have great concerns, because right now, you can't even accommodate two cars to go around one another. And, I know for a situation where we had to have the ambulance down to my house when my husband passed a couple of years ago, there's just no room for that. And the concern with having, a development only to be accessed by the alley, I think that's, just not safe for the residents in the area.
Okay.
Yes. Anything else?
No. I was just going to point out we did approach. We did talk about fire and safety to the city about this, and it wasn't a concern because they are going to be accessing from East Street. The entire development is not all accessed from the alley. It still has a front door and it's onto East Street. It's just the parking is in the back.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
And the same thing with garbage and things like that were mentioned and worried about. The garbage truck is still going to come on East Street and pick up just on the main road. It just doesn't have a curb cut to it. But a lot of but this is also something that we can't bring back. This was on last month's agenda and we voted on it. And we made our considerations with the findings of fact and that it fit within zoning. With the stipulations that we made that working with the city about the alleyway and having it paved and having it taken care of and all of that, and that is being worked out through the city and through the property owner. But there's nothing we can really do at this point.
Can I ask for one quick clarifying point then? Is it with regard to what the motion says actually? Is to be paved, an alley maintenance agreement must be submitted to the city or reconfigure parking with ingress and egress off Northeast Street to the rear of the parcel, landscaping and lighting. So what exactly does that mean if that's not also still going to be a consideration?
Scott, was that to have the parking being accessed from East Street instead?
It was an option. My understanding that was proposed that if sufficient agreement could not be obtained with the alley, with the city and the property owner, that they could access from East Street and use that for the primary access.
Yep.
I mean, it's the availability of the access is right there, where we don't have availability to access the property in any other way. And having six full-time residents or whatever it's going to be in that traffic down to one alley, one car alley, it just seems to be a little bit, nonsensical in order to not consider having the access off East Street. So I think our concerns, and I think we would like to understand more you know, the decision-making process once it gets to be to that point when the plans are drawn. But that's the way that we feel. And it's encroached on our property. We've all lost about 2 feet into that alleyway that has not been maintained. And it's almost, you can literally rub against my house if you had a big enough truck. So, I mean.
Okay. Scott, is that something that's being looked into, the alleyway itself?
I have mentioned it to the DPW supervisor about the alley encroaching off of the right-of-way area.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Lynn. Do you have anything more?
No. Thank you for your consideration, and we hope it works out. We're excited about the project. We just have those few concerns.
I completely understand. Thank you for coming, and thank you for calling in.
All right.
Patrick, do we have any other citizens present?
We do. There's another. McGinty is the screen name. I can go ahead and unmute.
That would be great. Okay.
Aaron, a point of clarification. I think this issue now needs to be approved by the city commission. Isn't that correct?
Scott?
An agreement, a maintenance agreement was the stipulation.
Yep. To be.
Okay. My name is Carolyn Thompson. I'm signing in under McGinty because I don't have my own computer. I'm at my daughter's house. So Carolyn Thompson, I've lived at 314 North Park for 19 years using that same alley. I'm talking about the same alley as Lynn just talked about.
Okay.
I'm just down a couple houses in off of North Street, and I have a garage that way because of course I don't have access out front on Park Street. And I just want to chime in everything that Lynn said. Of course, we've been talking. You know, and I've been the one for 19 years. Basically, I'm the only full-time resident that uses it. The rest are more or less cottages. And I have been the one that has filled in potholes, trimmed back trees. I have watched the alley move over towards our property. Because of the tree growth, I try my best. You know, the city does not keep the alley. They do put the dust control on. And I think one time, maybe 18 years ago, they came and plowed it when I complained there were too many holes for me to keep gravel in.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to reiterate that, you know, we're just concerned. We appreciate that you said they would have to have a maintenance because really that alley does not go through in the wintertime. That would be a big concern if that was their only driveway. It needs to go both ways. See the church that backs up on Park Street, you know, to the alley.
Mm-hmm.
They literally plow the snow for us few residents that have to use it, and they only plow down to their driveway. And in the winter, it's a big mound of snow. And if that building, I mean, literally, you would have to have it all the way through if somebody's going to use it that often. I just wanted to chime in, and I appreciate. I did send a letter because I had been in contact with Patrick, and I sent a letter to the planning department, so I hope somebody got it. But anyway. Okay.
It was received.
It was received? Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you very much.
And yep. I just wanted to thank you for listening to us tonight. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, do we have any more citizens present?
No additional hands raised at this time, Chair.
No additional hands raised at this time?
Correct.
Okay. Well, then let's move on. Let's move on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees.
As I updated last month, the task force, the marijuana task force, does have a meeting scheduled for April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll be reevaluating the steps forward to facilitate public engagement on the issue. And hopefully we can accomplish that as things hopefully are getting better.
All right. Unfinished business. There is no unfinished business. Okay, let's move on to new business. A zoning map amendment public hearing. Scott, can you go over this for us?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The zoning map amendment has been initiated by the city to zone parcels 15002006180 1800 15002006017 10 and 15002-006-017-20 to planned industrial district. Patrick, if you could scroll down a little bit more so we can see that picture on the report. Yeah, right there, so we can see that. These three parcels are, there's two basically 20 acre parcels stacked on top of each other there. The 01710 is the parcel to the south with the words subject parcel on, or subject property on it. And then the 01720 is the parcel to the north, that one. And then there's a small little about quarter acre parcel down on M75 where that existing driveway comes in. As you can see that these parcels bisected by a strip of land. That's a 100-foot wide strip that's owned by Boyne Valley Township and is the location of the Boyne Valley Trailway. On the west and north sides of the subject parcels are adjacent to the Boyne City Industrial Park, which is zone planned industrial district and under the jurisdiction of the city of Boyne City. To the south of the parcels are adjacent properties that are under the jurisdiction of Boyne Valley Township that are zoned commercial C2 and are currently being used for residential purposes. To the east parcel are adjacent to properties that are under the jurisdiction of Boyne Valley Township and are zoned rural residential RR1. Parcels 01710 and 01720 are each approximately 20 acres and bisected diagonally, as I told you. And then parcel 01800 is approximately 8,000 square feet with a 42 foot of frontage on M75. Prior to the purchase by the city of the parcels were used for single family dwelling and farming. There are vacant dwellings on the parcels along with several associated accessory farming structures. The subject parcels were purchased by the city in 2018 and are currently in the process of being transferred into the jurisdiction of the city, Boyne City, from Boyne Valley Township through a 425 agreement. The transfer of jurisdiction requires the city designate a zoning district for the parcels and complete zoning map amendment process as stipulated by the Zoning Enabling Act and the Boyne City Zoning Ordinance. So the process is in accordance with the Enabling Act and the ordinance amendment procedures after receiving the application in a public hearing, which is noticed for today, not July 20th, sorry, typo. The commission should review the proposed amendment and amendment criteria listed in 2.5C of the zoning ordinance as a guide. And you may notice that I provided a checklist going through those standards. As the ordinance stipulates these criteria to be used only as a guide, it's not necessary that the proposed zoning meet any of the specific criteria. However, only these criteria can be considered in making a recommendation. To assist the Planning Commission with this process, I prepared the checklist for your review and consideration. So at this point, I would recommend open the public hearing and receive public input on the matter.
Yep. All right, Patrick, I'm gonna open this to the, I open this to the public for public comment. Is there anyone with their hand raised?
Not currently, Chair, no.
Okay. I will close it to public comment for right now and open it up to the board. Do you guys have any questions about this? This is just about the property itself and rezoning it.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Quick question. There, the comment was made that to the east, that it is Boyne Valley Township zoned rural residential. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, is there any movement to change that to commercial or in between the wheelway and M75 by Boyne Valley Township? Or is that because as you're getting further out there, it appears to be continuing or to be a kind of a transitionary road where there is some residential, some commercial, a mix of each. So, and then back towards the river, yes, there is residential, but there's not a lot of accessibility from M75 mm-hmm. back to those locations. So what is the long-term plan for Boyne Valley Township? And or is that any concern of ours as the city?
From what I understand, the whole portion is being rezoned to be for the planned industrial district.
Right.
Including
our
the
portion. But what I'm asking about is the portion just east of this.
Okay.
Are you looking at the portion along 75 or on the east border of these properties?
Primarily along M75.
Those are zoned commercial.
Okay.
So I called them to the south of this property, but they are kind of to the east as well. So those right. along M75 are currently zoned commercial. And the portions off 75, the larger parcels to the north and to the east of that area is zoned rural residential. I don't know what Boyne Valley's future land use goals for these areas are. I don't think they are anticipating any changes to them.
Okay.
All right, any other questions from the board? Okay. Hey, Scott, can we run down through the checklist real quick? Or please?
In regards to making a map change, the Planning Commission is to use Section 2.5C as a guide in making their recommendation to the City Commission. The first standard is the proposed zoning district is more appropriate than any other zoning district or more appropriate than adding the desired use as a conditional land use to the existing zoning district. And I provided the parcels are adjacent to the phase two of the Boyne City Area Industrial Park and were purchased by the city with the intention of future growth of the park. Parcels are currently in the jurisdiction of Boyne Valley Township and zoned industrial. Parcels will transfer to the jurisdiction upon execution of the 420-5 agreement, which is anticipated to occur on March 23rd, 2021.
Okay, so March 23rd, the transfer of the parcel will be to the city?
That's where the City Commission will consider the final determined execution of the agreement.
Okay. All right. Any questions about that, guys? And ladies, I'm sorry.
Two, the property cannot be reasonably used as zoned and the applicant cannot receive a reasonable return on investment through developing property with one of the uses permitted under current zoning at the time of the purchase and securing legal control of the property. A zoning district must be assigned to the parcels that transfer into the jurisdiction of the city through the 425 agreement. Number three, the proposed zone change is supported and consistent with the goals, policy, and future land use of the map adopted by the city comprehensive plan, including any sub-area corridor studies, if conditions have changed since the comprehensive plan was adopted, as determined by the Planning Commission, the consistency and recent development trends in the area shall be considered. The parcels are not included on the future land use map of the city master plan as conditions have changed since that plan was adopted. The subject parcels were not within the jurisdiction of the city at the time the plan was developed and acquisition of the parcels was not anticipated. The zoning district is consistent with the current zoning of the property and anticipated development trends. The proposed uses are supported by the economic development goals and objectives of the city master plan.
So it wasn't part of the city when the master plan was written up?
That's correct. So it was not anticipated that we would be acquiring it, so it wasn't considered as part of that map.
Okay.
The proposed zone change is compatible with the established land use pattern surrounding uses and surrounding zoning in terms of land suitability, impacts, environment, density, nature of use, traffic impact, aesthetics, infrastructure, potential influence on property values, and consistent with the needs of the community. The proposed zoning district is compatible with the existing zoning of the parcels. The parcels shall be incorporated into the adjacent Boyne City Air Industrial Park, and the uses shall be subject to the same ordinance and deed restriction standards.
Should it be adjacent to the Boyne City Air Industrial Business Park?
Yes. I can make that correction.
Okay.
All the potential uses allowed in the proposed zoning district are compatible with the site's physical, geological, hydrological, and other environmental features. Based on preliminary views and anticipated development plan, the proposed uses are compatible with the environmental features of the parcels. Six, the change would not severely impact traffic facilities, utilities, and this goes through the requirements for a traffic impact study, which this would trigger. And that traffic impact study is currently underway. It has not been completed as of yet.
Okay.
Seven, the rezoning would constitute and create and isolate an unplanned spot zone, granting a special privilege to one landowner not available to others. The proposed area to be zoned is approximately 40 acres adjacent to the industrial Air Industrial Business Park, and which is zoned PID, and the parcels are currently zoned industrial. The change of present district boundaries is consistent in relation to existing uses, and construction on the site will be able to meet the dimensional regulations of the proposed zoning district in the schedule regulations. The proposed PID zoning district is consistent with the existing zoning of the parcels, and the parcels are adjacent to similarly zoned parcels in the Air Industrial Business Park. The approximately 40 acres to be zoned is sufficient area to allow construction that would meet the dimensional requirements of the schedule regulations. Okay. Nine, there has been a change in conditions in the area supporting the proposed rezoning. As the jurisdiction of the parcels are being transferred to the city, a designation of the zoning district for the parcels is required. 10, adequate sites are neither properly zoned nor available elsewhere to accommodate the proposed uses permitted in the requesting zoning district. There are no sites within the city with comparable size and infrastructure that could accommodate the anticipated development. There was a mistake in the original zoning classification. That's not applicable. And the request has not been previously submitted within the last year, and that is not applicable as well.
Okay.
So those are the standards that you are to use in your determination of a recommendation.
Okay. So does anyone on the board have a question about this or?
No, but I'd be happy to offer a motion.
I have a couple questions.
Absolutely.
Oh, there you
go. With the split for the trail system, are they going to do like landscaping to facilitate the aesthetic quality of the trail?
Nicole, that's something that we'll talk about later on another agenda. Right now, it's just about the property itself.
Okay.
And making sure that it is zoned properly for what's needed. And so this is just the first step.
Okay. And so, then my other question is the backside of the corner closest to the river. Is there any concerns with it being industrial for the river frontage aspect of it?
That's not really part of the requirements. That's not economic. I mean, the environmental is not part of it, Scott.
Right. That portion of the site would be more closely looked at when a development plan for that parcel is presented, and those concerns would be addressed at that time.
So for each specific site plan review.
Right.
Okay.
I'd like to dovetail on that question a little bit. Is the northern portion triangular a usable piece of property for industrial development with the trailway going through there? Or would there be a consideration of moving the trailway? Is that considered? Or is that northern piece of the triangular and the steep slope down to the river still a usable parcel?
There's a good portion of that parcel that is usable. There's a home site on it right now and several buildings. Then it falls down to the river. So there is area that could be developed. There is no current plan to move the trail from its current location. Crossings of the trail are anticipated and will be developed with due care, but there's no requirement to move it.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Okay. Patrick, was there any public input? Were there any more raised hands that came up during our discussion?
There were not, no.
Thank you. All right. So at this point, we would need a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'll make a motion based solely on the fact that these parcels were already zoned industrial, that the commission make a recommendation to move forward and recommend zoning them to the PID.
Mr. Chairman, if I could offer a suggestion.
Yep.
If you could reference the standards of 2.5C in your motion, and all those are consistent with the motion.
All right, so based on the 2.50C facts and findings, I would recommend that we recommend to the commission to go ahead and zone these as planned industrial district.
Okay.
Was There's that sufficient?
That's perfect, thank you.
Yeah, good job, Jeff.
This is Tom.
Yes, Tom.
I'll second it.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Jeff Ross.
Aye.
Monica Ross.
Aye.
Bowman. You're muted, Jim.
Aye.
Shoot.
Aye.
McNaughton.
Yes.
Moblo.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Newton.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. All right. Let's move on to new business B, development plan review for Jervis Webb DeFuku. Scott, and then also I understand, is there a presentation?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we have several members here from DeFuku Jervis Webb team to present their project, I'd like to go over some of the site details and various considerations the Planning Commission will need to be thinking about as you go through this plan review process. And then I'd like to turn it over to the development team to describe their project in more detail. As we just previously discussed, the property is in the process of being transferred into the jurisdiction of the city through a 425 agreement. And the city initiated the process to zone the property to planned industrial district. As these processes will not be completed for several more weeks, approval of a development plan can only be made conditionally pending completion of the 425 agreement and adoption of the zoning change. The subject site will be reconfigured from three different existing parcels. It will be comprised of the small quarter acre site that's on M75 and the which is the 01800 parcel. And then the portions of the two 20 acre parcels that are south of the railroad grade. So basically the western triangle of the northern parcel that is south of the trail will be transferred to the parcel to the south. And then the northern triangle of the parcel to the south that is north of the trail will be transferred to the parcel to the north. The subject property is approximately 21 acres. It's, like I said, a triangle shape with about 1,600 feet of distance along the trail, and then approximately 300 feet of frontage along M75. The proposed structure is a 236,000 square foot facility with a proposed 65,000 square foot future expansion area that will be oriented parallel to M75 and placed approximately 400 feet from the road. The proposed location of the structure meets all setback and lot coverage requirements of the PID district. The manufacturing portion of the structure has a sloped roof with a middle peak height of 37.6 inches, sloping down to 34 feet for an average building height of 35 feet 9 inches, which exceeds the 35 feet maximum building height in the PID district. There is a parapet wall on the perimeter of the building that has a height of 38 feet 6 inches. However, the ordinance specifically exempts parapet walls from the building height requirements. In this case, the applicant would be required to seek relief from the building height requirement from the ZBA. That's the Zoning Board of Appeals. The Planning Commission can make a recommendation on a variance request prior to submittal to the ZBA. Given the facts that the encroaching building height is exceeded by the permitted height of the parapet wall and the unique nature of the building due to its size, this building is easily the largest structure in the city. And to give it some context, you could basically place this building over all the structures from Lake Street to East Street along Water Street, and you'd cover all the buildings on both sides of the street and the street. So you can put all that in this building. And given the minimum amount of relief required, it would appear a consideration by the Planning Commission for a variance recommendation is reasonably justified. The primary access to the site will be from M75, which would require permitting from MDOT. As I mentioned, the traffic impact study is currently being completed, and the results of that study could impact the final design of that access drive. So once those results are brought in and reviewed by MDOT, they'll determine what the adequate access drive would be for that, whether or not it needs a turn lane or a bypass lane or whatnot. A secondary access on the northwest corner of the property connects to Lexmark Drive. This access crosses Boyne Valley Trailway and properties owned by Boyne Valley Township and the City of Boyne City. The construction of this drive will require removal and replacement of a portion of the trail, as it would need to lower the trail in this drive location about a foot and a half. So they're going to have to cut back between 50 and 75 feet on each side of the drive to bring that slope down to about a 2% grade. There also is an existing access private access drive across the site for the Robinson dwelling that's located to the northeast of the project site. This drive will be relocated on an access easement that is located along the south and east boundaries of the site. This access drive will also require a new crossing for the Boyne Valley Trailway, basically relocating the existing crossing that they have now. The submitted landscaping plan provides screening buffers meeting ORS requirements along M75 frontage and the south lot line, which is adjacent to existing residential uses. Some existing trees on the site will be maintained to provide screening along the west lot line, and existing trees supplemented with additional plantings will be used to screen the Boyne Valley Trail that is adjacent to the north. In my staff report that you received in the packets, it was indicated that these plantings would be located on the Boyne Valley parcel. Since that report was rewritten, revisions to the landscaping plan have been made, and all these plantings have been moved and relocated onto the subject site. Landscaping for the interior of the site includes irrigated lawn area and various plantings and landscaping islands within the parking lots. The quantity of the proposed plantings for the site interior are below the ordinance specifications for a site this size. The Planning Commission does have the ability or authority to waive or modify these landscape requirements, as you have done in the past. If the Planning Commission determines that no good purpose would be served by providing landscaping or screening as required. So that completes my comments, and unless there's any specific questions for me, I would like to introduce and turn it over to the Dufuku Jervis Webb team.
Okay.
Today we have Ed Hunt, the construction manager for Integrity Construction Services, Dean DeKreiger, architect for DK Design Group, Kevin Markerowitz, civil engineer with C2AE, and Todd Allerin from Dufuku Jervis Webb. So with that, Ed.
Thank you, Scott. Integrity Construction Services has been selected to be the construction manager for this project. And we're very excited about that. We've been working with the Jervis Webb Dufuku Group since last February 2020. Through various preliminary designs and pricing revisions, we've gotten to this point. We've put together a design professional team, all from Northern Michigan. We have DK Design Group as the architects, C2AE as the civil engineers, and then Nelis Engineering out of Traverse City for the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers. A little bit about the scheduling of this project. It's all subject to this property, transaction happening and zoning approval. But we're hoping to be in a position to fast track several portions of the bidding with the site work and the concrete work in early April, and then break ground really as soon as the permitting would be in place. Best case would be sometime yet in April, maybe the 1st of May, but as soon as we could, we would break ground on this. And we're thinking it's about a 15-month build, plus or minus, which would put us, completion somewhere in July of 2022. And as Scott mentioned, it's a very, very large building, and we're certainly excited to be a part of it and be back in Boyne City building something there. I did want to touch briefly on the building height. We have submitted a height variance application. And just to clarify, it's 14 and a quarter inches by the time we factored in all of our roof insulation and got down to the details there. And the reason for that is there's a lot of bridge cranes in this building, and with the hook height that they needed and also the clear height of the interior side of the steel to compensate for some product line that they've done in the past. That kind of dictated what the height of the building ended up being. Once the final engineering through the pre-engineered steel company with those interior height restrictions and crane hook heights, it put us up just over on that average building height, but still lower than the parapet, which is now a little bit lower than Scott had mentioned. I think he had 38'6", and we're at 38 foot now. So we've actually lowered the parapet a little bit. So at that point, I'd like to turn it over to our architect, Dean DeKreiger from DK Design Group, and he'll walk you through a quick overview of the building design.
Patrick, could you go to their meeting presentation materials, please?
Sure. And I don't see Dean in the audience, but if he may be under another name, just let me know and I can unmute.
He's under Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay.
Yep. He texted me and let me know that.
Sounds good.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm at my computer or my wife's computer at home and it won't let me change my name on it. So I'm Dean DeKreiger with the DK Design Group. As Ed mentioned, we are the architects for the project. What we're looking at here in this first sheet is a floor plan of the full facility. The plan structure really consists of two components, the main plant and the attached office wing. The plant will be a pre-engineered steel building structure. It's about 210,000 square feet in size. That's 300 by 700 in dimension, with its long edge running parallel to M75. It also does have a covered but open bay for the truck docks, which is 40 foot by 300. The office wing will be approximately 15,500 square feet and will be attached directly to the southwest side of the plant. It's approximately 160 feet by 96 feet in dimension, with its long edge also running parallel to M75. The office wing will be conventionally framed with exterior masonry bearing walls and interior steel columns, beams, joists, and metal deck. And it will also have a membrane roof. The plant and the offices will be fully fire sprinkled and will meet all building code requirements. If you move on, if you would, to the next sheet, which is sheet A2.0, those are some exterior, two-dimensional exterior elevations of the building. The pre-engineered plant will have a steel panel skin and a shallow pitch membrane roof, and Ed has addressed the height issue on that. The building will actually be a color called pearl gray, which is a light gray color. And on the offices themselves, while the final colors and materials haven't been selected, they will be neutral. There'll be a masonry base with various metal panels above them. The proposed larger massing elements at the corners will be 25 foot high at the entry and 20 foot at the opposite corner in order to kind of break up the massing of the building. The balance of the roof height will be about 17'4" above grade. The windows will be an aluminum frame and glass storefront type system. If you move to the next sheet, please. This is just a very simple massing showing somewhat what I described already. It reflects that the building will be primarily a gray palette. If you look on the upper view from the west, you can see that the doors and the truck docks are under that covered area. And you can then also see that the office itself has some different massing to break it up and to give some visual natural cues to where the entry is. And with that, I want to simply pass it on to Kevin McCarowitz. And he's going to give us a brief overview of the site plan.
Excuse me. All right. Thank you, Dean. Again, my name is Kevin McCarowitz, civil engineer with C2AE. I'm in my office, our office in Gaylord, and I'd like to briefly go through the civil site. I believe, Patrick, if you would switch to, oh, there it is right there. Sorry. What you have on your screen is the project minus all of the notes associated with the different aspects of the project. So briefly, as Scott had mentioned earlier, the main access for all employees will be off of M75. The access for trucks will be off of Lexmar Drive to the north. You'll see a perimeter drive around the southeast and northerly sides of the building. That drive was reduced to 12 foot wide and will be a one-way, authorized personnel or authorized vehicles only. The drive connecting the loading dock on the westerly side to the drive off of M75 is 25 feet wide, two lane roads. As Scott had mentioned also earlier, the traffic impact study is being completed. It's underway. I was in correspondence with the traffic engineer just before the meeting. It's a draft is in QAQC review in their internal office. So we will get that finished draft report and pass that along to the city for consideration, as well as we'll work with or pass that document along to MDOT so that we can work with them to obtain approval for a driveway permit off of M75. Parking for the proposed facility meets zoning requirements. We have also been in contact with Mark Fowler with regards to city water and sewer service connections. Those proposed locations have not changed since our pre-application meeting that we joined with you back in January. The sizes and locations have not changed. Storm sewer and site lighting will both be, design will be completed to meet the zoning ordinance. The storm sewer, I've been in contact at least twice with Russ Smith, the Charlevoix County Soil Erosion Officer. I've also discussed that background with Scott McPherson. We have, after taking 18 soil borings on the site, we have one location that the existing underlying soils will provide us with good stormwater infiltration. That's in the southeasterly corner of the site. Possibly, if Patrick could zoom in just a little bit to that southeast corner near the SP.1 title block or portion of the title block. There we go. So that's our only stormwater retention basin. All stormwater will make its way down to that location and infiltrate into the underlying soils. Lastly, as Scott McPherson mentioned, you'll see some proposed landscaping, screening landscaping on the northerly side of the Daifuku site. That was originally outside of the property. That was revised and located on the Daifuku property where we're proposing zoning approved, ordinance approved sugar maples and red maples at zoning ordinance spacing requirements to screen the Boyne Valley Trailway from the facility. There's also existing trees within the Boyne Valley township property directly on the south side of the trailway. That will obviously be remaining because it's on their property, but that screening, existing screening, will remain in place. And the supplemental trees that are trees that are proposed on the southeasterly portion of that site are on the Daifuku property. Yeah. And that's all I have for a civil site perspective.
Okay. And then did we have Todd too, or was that?
We did, but I'm not sure what he's under because I don't see his name.
Oh, okay.
Todd, if you're there, can you raise your hand? Okay, he's on. Well, Jeff has his hand raised. Maybe he's going to speak. Probably Jeff Howery. I see his hand raised.
Patrick? Yep, thank you.
All right. Yeah, this is Jeff Howery, the plant manager here in Boyne. I appreciate the commission for listening. I have Todd Alderman with me.
Okay.
Let him say a few words. He's our vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that confusion lurking in the background under the pseudonym of Jeff there. But appreciate everybody's attention and the opportunity to present here. We're very excited about this. It's something we've been looking forward to for a long time. You know, we've had a presence up here for over 50 years, and it was important to us to keep the operation here. We have a lot of highly skilled workers up here, very dedicated, and we're very excited to expand the operation, modernize it, and create more jobs as well. So again, we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. Scott, do you have any questions before I open it up for public comment?
Not this time, no.
Okay. Right now, I will open this up to public comment on this project. And remember to state your name, full name, and address. Patrick, do you have anyone in the audience that?
Showing none currently.
Okay. Well, I'll close public comment for now and open it up to the board. Does anyone have any questions about this? Concerns?
I have a question for Kevin.
Yes.
In regards to the stormwater retention area.
Yes.
How deep do you anticipate that pond to be? And will there be a need to have a fence around it?
Currently, Scott, I estimate that depth to be 12 feet. And of course, we will meet any zoning requirements as I move forward completing design. The only reference that I found with regards to if a fence or any trees, shrubs are required around the perimeter. The one section, and I didn't write it specifically down for the number. It was only stating it was a fence was required if there would be standing water for a period of time in the bottom. Now, again, if I was mistaken and missed a section, we'll obviously add a fence or whatever is required by the ordinance, but
you're not anticipating any standing water?
If so, it should be infiltrated rather quickly. My design is to infiltrate 10 inches of rain out the bottom of the pond per hour, so it should infiltrate rather quickly. Not immediately, but quickly.
Okay. Anyone else on the board have any questions? I know that Nicole, you had a question about the screening to the Boyne Valley Trailway. Nicole? All right.
Scott, is there anything in the ordinance about screening retention ponds?
No.
Okay.
But it is going to be screened. They do screen the south property line between them and the residential uses, and it'll be screened to the north, so.
Okay, good.
Scott, this is Kevin. If I could clarify that, yes, we are showing screening along the north side of the retention pond. The right there, correct. The screening proposed along the south residential use, commercially zoned residential usage. If we look closely at that south property line, the screening is only proposed from, well, let's say from M75 easterly to the perimeter road that goes to the northeast. At this time, we did not propose screening along the entire south property line, just where the residents are located. That's all.
Okay.
I had a question about the, it was mentioned during one of the presentations that the Boyne Valley Trail was going to have to be, the elevation of it was going to have to be brought down a little bit for a space, for quite a length of space. What would happen to people attempting to use the trail during that period? Is there a way to go around it, or how quickly would that, how much time would that trail then be out of service?
Yeah, this is Ed Hunt. I can speak to that since we're going to be managing the construction out there. And that's a good question that we're going to have to figure out. We've talked about it internally in our design meetings. You know, we'll work with whatever agency there is to, you know, proper notifications and stuff. And I don't know if there's a temporary rerouting that we can do. But we will certainly work to minimize the downtime and have everything prepared and work diligently during as soon as we would excavate that, is to get it back in operational as quick as possible. So we're aware of that issue, and all I can say is that we'll work to minimize any disruption there to the best of our ability.
Because it's become a very popular trail very quickly, even though it's brand new. And it would seem like there should be at least some temporary, even if it's dirt, perhaps. Tom Needhammer is, I believe, has ridden that trail and is familiar with it, but I don't think we could possibly just cut it off and tell them to go out on the highway or whatever. So I would think there'd have to be some accommodation for a detour type situation.
And I would agree. And I've ridden that trail several times myself. And I think there's some sort of a temporary routing that we can do to keep the traffic flowing.
Good.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, Nicole was trying to raise her hand. Could you get her back in on the call? Thank you.
Yes, I've asked her to unmute. I think she should be set.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm unmuted now, but unfortunately I got kicked off the internet. I don't know what happened. And when I logged back in, I lost all muting abilities.
No. Okay. Did you listen to, you had a question about screening to the trail, Nicole?
Yeah, I did say hear him say that he was willing to do any screening as necessary.
I think on the plan there actually is, and we're talking about sugar maples and
red maples are
Yep, I heard that. That's wonderful.
That. Awesome.
I have a question about the access drive to the north. Do you have any idea what the anticipated traffic volumes using that drive will be?
Mm-hmm.
Ed, do you want Kevin or me? This is Kevin to answer that, or do you want to answer?
How about Dr. Todd?
You're talking coming off of Lexamar Drive?
Yes, correct.
Okay, we're going to try to keep that strictly truck traffic. We do outbound about 2 per day. When we combine the facilities, we're going to be about 3 per day. With incoming, it's probably going to be closer to 6 to 8 trucks per day.
Oh.
10, 12,
and that would be about it off the Lexamar Drive. We're going to encourage employees to come in off of M75. Okay. And I know we're working with MDOT now on that.
Okay. Thank you.
So there's a total of about 13 per day. If you add those all up.
Yeah, that would be on the high side, 12 to 15 max.
Okay.
I mean, that's well above what we're doing now, but we're combining operations.
Right. Would there be any discussion of a traffic light on M75 for the, was that Mall Drive?
Lexmark Drive. Oh, wait, Mall Drive, yeah.
Probably going to be up to this Highway Commission, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the MDOT jurisdiction. Yeah. Really, yeah. They have no impact on that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, do we have to go through the facts and findings again?
Yes.
Okay.
Because some things have changed. If you guys don't have any other questions, we'll go through the findings of fact.
I'm ready.
Yep. Scott?
You want me to read through these in their entirety? Or?
No. We've already gone through these once, correct? But aren't there some changes specifically to like the height of the structure? And
right. Okay, so I'll go through these and kind of hit those items. On the A general, that's where we talk about the structure. And here the structure is anticipated to exceed the ordinance standards in height at 36 feet, 2 inches. In regards to all their ordinance criteria regarding the schedule regulations for setbacks, lot coverage, those types of things, meets all those ordinance standards. So the Planning Commission can consider making a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals on their variance application in regards to that height request. Other than that, the findings meets all ordinance standards.
Okay. Anyone have any question about that? Or I think the fact that the parapet on the front is going to be, I mean, which is within, is going to be even taller than the roof is going to be. You're not going to see the roof.
Right.
Can we approve the facts pending approval from the ZBA?
Yeah, I would recommend you make a recommendation in that particular finding in regards to 19.7, making a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals in regards to the height based on those factors that we talked about, the parapet wall, the size of the building, and this, the need for the cranes as Ed Hunt had talked about.
Okay. All right, is this after this or at any point?
I would do it now, then move on to the next criteria.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions about this or concerns about the height of this building?
I don't think it's a problem considering the scale of the building.
Right.
And it's just 14 and a quarter inches or something. That's and it's needed for them to operate properly. So.
Right. Yeah, and visually, you're not going to know.
No.
Okay.
Well, I would. Do you want that in a motion, Scott? Under that?
Yeah, we'd make a motion identifying that specific finding and that recommendation to the ZBA.
I didn't quite hear you. Said yes. You would like. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. I'll make a motion that under the height that we make a recommendation to the ZBA to approve the height variance based on the fact of the size and the height and the size and the scope of the building and the justification of the height of the building due to machinery inside, that the approval, that the variance is approved by the ZBA.
I would second that motion.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Newton.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Jeff Ross.
Aye.
Monica Ross.
Aye.
Bowman.
Aye.
Shute.
Aye.
McNaughton.
Aye.
Moblo.
Aye.
Okay. All right, Scott. So we move on to building design.
Building designs, item B. Mr. DeKrager provided you with a review of the building design and also provided you a documentation of what that would look like. Those are consistent with the design criteria of the ordinance and of the industrial park or the business park covenants that are in place now. And the building is very similar to the surrounding buildings that are already currently in the park.
Okay. Is there like a certain amount of glazing that has to be met within the industrial park? Not really.
Not within the PID specifically,
okay.
No.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions about the design of the building and fitting into the rest of the zone?
I think they've done an excellent job.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be really impressive, I think, just the mass of it. Yeah.
Our little EJ.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on then.
Okay. Preservation of significant natural features. This portion of the site is relatively flat and has no significant environmental features or historical features. It is about 60% wooded, which will be mostly cleared. They do indicate that some existing trees will be maintained to supplement the existing landscaping and do some screening on the west side there.
All right. Let's move on to streets then.
Okay. All streets developed in accordance with city standards. There are no new public streets being proposed, just access drives off of existing streets.
Okay. And the access driveways and circulation.
Yeah. So that, as we mentioned, the primary access is going to be off of M75, and a current traffic impact study is being done, and that driveway will be designed and constructed to meet MDOT standards, and those findings from that impact study could impact that design. The secondary access is from Lexamar Drive. As Jeff indicated, we're anticipating maybe 13 to 15 vehicles a day across that access. There is a current private drive that runs across the site. This will be relocated into an easement that borders the south and east sides of the parcels and then hook up with the existing drive. And then there's a ring road that goes around the entire site.
Mm-hmm. Anyone have any questions about that? Or we would put as part of our stipulation that it was approved, or the so how do we work that out, Scott, with the entrance being possibly changed?
It has to meet MDOT requirements. So
okay. Okay. All right. Emergency vehicle access.
There are 2 points of entry to the site, and as we mentioned, the ring road around the site. I spoke with police, fire, and EMS today. None had any issues with access to the site or around the structure.
Okay. And then sidewalks, pedestrian, and bike circulation?
They do have sidewalks connecting the parking area to the office area. And as you mentioned, it is going to cross the Boyne Valley Trailway, which is adjacent to the northern border of the site.
Okay. Any questions about that? All right. Barrier-free access.
They are providing barrier-free access and parking and access to the building.
Okay. And then under parking?
The minimum spaces required are 5 plus or 1 for every 1.5 employees in the largest shift. They estimated 225 for that shift. So the minimum spaces required are 155 and they propose 197.
Cool. All right. Loading.
So the loading area is located on the west end of the building in that kind of enclosed loading dock area. And that will also enclose the dumpsters. And there are some outside storage containers located on the north side of the building.
Okay. Landscaping, screening, and open space.
Yeah, as we talked about the landscaping plan, they anticipate to meet the ordinance standards for the buffer along the residential uses to the south and along the road frontage. There are some existing trees on the west side that we maintain to screen that area. They do plan to put in landscaping islands in the parking lots and doing some additional landscaping, but the total number of trees doesn't meet the ordinance standards. I believe it was 200 and some odd trees they needed, and they proposed to put about 100. They would need relief from the Planning Commission for that particular ordinance standard.
Okay. What do you guys think about that, board?
Is there a reason they didn't meet that requirement? I mean, is there like logistics just because of the size of the building and parking and such that was
limited? I think similar to what we looked at with the Great Lakes Energy site, when you get a site this large, the ordinance numbers start getting exponential. So it really does increase the number of plantings that are required within the site. And given this site is about 400 feet from the road, and already screened from the road, you know, that interior landscaping is going to have minimal aesthetic value when it comes from looking at the site. So to me, it seems to be a reasonable request.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, Scott.
Does anyone else have any concerns about that, or?
Is that something that we could refer to administration, in other words, refer to Scott?
I kind of think that we can probably make the decision ourselves. Not really.
You can. You have a landscaping plan in front of you. You can. You refer to that, and you know if that's approved, then the relief is granted. You know, there may be some tweaking of various plannings, but you know, in essence, the plan will be followed.
Yeah. No, I think that for the size and scale of this property and the fact that everything's screened off, I think that that works.
Agreed.
I agree.
Okay.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
What would that need to be included in the motion?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that standard we bent with condition.
Okay. All right. Soil erosion control.
This site will require a soil erosion permit through the Charlevoix County Soil Erosion Office.
Sounded like they were working on?
They were working on a stormwater plan as well, which is the next item. So, again, that item will have to meet ordinance standards and the permit obtained.
Okay. Lighting?
They did provide a site lighting plan that does meet ordinance standards.
Okay, cool. Noise?
It's anticipated, you know, this is going to be industrial use and probably be similar to other industrial uses in the area with the type of noise that's emitted.
Okay, mechanical equipment?
Go ahead. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Tom.
Could we expand on the noise issue?
Yes.
From one of the engineers, this has been a topic in the past in the industrial park, and we just want to clarify that it's not going to be excessive. And right along the same topic, the emissions out of the smokestack, or the, it's not going to be a smokestack, but if one of the presenters could address those two topics, please.
If I may, this is Jeff Howery, the plant manager.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, our emissions are basically water vapor. You may see on a cold morning what looks like steam. It's actually water vapor coming out of our wash line. That's a green system, which is discharged into the city system, which is monitored. We have been for years. We don't really have any stamping presses or anything like that that make a lot of noise. The one machine that does have some noise is actually our powder booth that has a filtration system that actually bangs. I know I've talked to the preacher at the church next door, and he's often wondered in the summer what that noise was. As one of the intents of this facility is to put a new powder system in, which would mean we would be able to upgrade our powder booths and filtration systems, which would lower that noise. It's really not a lot decibel-wise. We don't even have areas within the shop where we're required to wear ear protection. Although we do offer it, obviously, but it's really not the type of operation where you're going to get that type of machinery or noise or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I hope that answers your question. In addition, you're always welcome to come visit here. You know, open door.
No, I appreciate the answer. There won't be really any exterior machinery or noise. Is that true?
Nothing external. They're going to have like an air conditioner condenser here or there for the office, I'm sure.
Sure.
No machinery, no.
Okay. The machinery that you had mentioned before that was kind of noisy, is that something that runs full time, or is that something that runs just every so often?
They're basically like a 2-foot diameter drum, maybe 4-foot long. It's a filter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like taking a piece of metal and just whacking it about every 10 minutes. And it takes this powder that we use instead of paint.
Yep.
And it just falls to the floor where we collect it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old system. It's about 25 years old. We're looking to go to a newer system. That's just a normal filtration system that wouldn't have that built into it.
Okay. Well, no, I was just asking if it's going to be running all day long, or is this something that is only done through part of the process?
No, it would be all day long.
Okay.
Typically 5 in the morning till 2 in the morning are normal shifts.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Is there any other question on noise while we're still on it? Okay. Mechanical equipment.
Okay. On the plan, there's shown enclosed rooftop units for the mechanical equipment on the office area.
Okay. Signs.
Signage plan has been provided and reviewed, and it does meet ordinance standards.
Okay. Hazardous material or waste?
As Jeff kind of just alluded to, they do are monitored for some emissions, so they do have to have compliance with all state and federal requirements.
Okay. Other agency reviews?
So all other permits are required. So MDOT approvals from the any crossings for the trail are necessary. Stormwater ordinance, all those other various permits need to be obtained.
Okay. And then I guess the last part would be approval of the, the findings. Just quick before we go on to that, Patrick, was there anyone with their hand raised from the that wanted to speak?
No.
Okay. All right. All right, to the board. Any concerns? At this point, we would just need a motion to approve the findings of fact. One of the things we did mention was the trees and the landscaping and giving them leniency. What's that?
The modification of the requirements.
Modification of the requirements, allowing them to use less less plantings than the 200 that would be required for this property.
Yeah.
How about the height requirement? Do we vote on that now?
There was already a motion for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the trail detour?
I would recommend that they work with city staff when that portion of the project comes forward to identify a reroute plan.
Okay. We need to make that part of the motion then?
Yes.
Okay. Good. It's a good plan. We're, you know, we're very happy that Jervis Webb has chosen Boyne City for this expansion, and it's going to be a great project.
I think so too.
Agreed.
Okay.
Totally agree, and it fulfills our goals of attracting jobs, family paying jobs to Boyne City. It's there's been a lot of good people putting a lot of tons of hours into this, and the company has invested lots of money to get to the starting line. So I agree with Jim. This is good for Boyne City.
Okay.
With that being said, I could make a motion. This is a motion to approve the development plan review as presented with the fact that they will work with city staff to minimize the stress on the trail, and to approve the site or the landscaping plan as submitted, which does accommodate less tree plantings less tree plantings than our ordinance says. Already included is the height variance recommendation to the ZBA. Is there anything else I need to add, Mr. Chair or Scott?
If I may suggest that to specifically identify the findings of 18.4. Yep. And adopt those with the associated conditions, including the motion for the variance request and the modification of the landscaping plan, and to work with staff with the trail relocation, rerouting.
Yes, I would accept Scott's recommendations. Yeah, in part, as part of my motion.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The Rosses have seconded it. roll call, Pat.
Monica Ross.
Yes.
Bowman.
Yes.
Shute.
Yes.
McNaughton.
Yes.
Moblo.
Yes.
Needhammer.
Yes.
Newton.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Jeff Ross.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Thanks so much for coming, guys. We appreciate it. This is an awesome project.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to staff report. Scott?
Not too much this evening, but as we move forward, I'm not sure how our next Planning Commission meeting will be held, whether we'll be able to get back together in person or we'll continue to do by Zoom.
Okay.
Hopefully it's by in person. And I would just like to thank all of the Planning Commission members for all their efforts through this very difficult and trying time, and able to accomplish a lot over the past year under these circumstances. So I really appreciate all your efforts, and I want to thank each one of you for that. So
thanks, Scott.
That,
thank you.
Okay. I'll move on to the good of the order.
I've got one thing, Mr. Chairman. I have a pending sale for me for my what will be my next homestead property that is outside of the city limits. And okay. So that is going to be closing before our next meeting. And I guess my question for you is, while I still own, you know, houses in Boyne City, with that being my primary residence and homestead, does that remove me then from the commission?
I believe so, Scott. Yeah.
I just wanted to confirm that. Okay. So
yep.
I guess with that, for this being the good of the order, I just wanted to let you know that this will be my last planning commission. Mm-hmm. So
really appreciate it, Rose.
Thank you. Yeah.
It was my honor.
Doesn't she have to find her own replacement or something?
I think so.
I think we need to amend the bylaws.
I think it's a good idea. I like that a lot.
We just got the whole crowd back together.
Yeah.
Rose, we will miss your perspective.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
Indeed.
Sad to see you go.
Yep. Make sure if you got the opportunity to drop in on our meetings.
Will do. Yep. I'll be just south of Deer Lake. So still in Boyne City, but not the city proper.
Good. Anything?
Scott, I saw city employees and some other contractors at the mouth of the river today. Looks like they're doing some preliminary planning for that. Or,
well, I believe they're using ground penetrating radar to determine the exact nature of the bridge condition there and how it's been undermined. It sounds like there was some good news that it wasn't as bad as they feared. So hopefully that they're going to start that rehabilitation project.
That starts this year, right?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. all part okay. of the, some of the shoreline stabilization that needs to okay. happen.
All right.
All right, guys, I guess I just need a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
A motion to adjourn.
I got a motion.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Yes.
Jeff Ross?
Yes.
Monica Ross?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Shoot.
Yes.
We are adjourned.
All right.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Keep us informed as if we're meeting in person for our April 19th.
I will keep you updated. Yep.
All right. All right. Thanks,
thank you.
Thank you all. Have a good night.